Congress has never finished with the Veterans Affairs Department. Fresh after extending the Choice Act, the House has passed a bill to overhaul the way VA recruits, trains, and retains people. And it's sponsored by Representative Brad Wenstrup of Ohio, who joins me now. Representative Wenstrup, good to have you on.
Hey, thank you. Glad to be with you.
Tell us about what this bill would do.
Sure. So the bill, people want to look it up, is H.R. 1367. And the intent is to streamline and update VA's hiring process, work on how we can retain high-quality employees. One of the things that's been very clear is that we do lose a lot of good employees to other opportunities, and also some are just resigning or retiring. And that number has risen every year since 2009. So it's an attempt to create an environment where there's career opportunities for people in the VA and opportunities for advancement. And we use things like fellowships, opportunities for promotion. But the bill will establish staffing, recruitment, and retention programs because we're trying to recruit and retain the strongest workforce possible. I come from the private sector, and turnover is not fun. It's expensive, and it reduces your efficiency, at least temporarily. So we want to do the best we can to get the best that we can working for us in the VA to take care of our veterans.
What are some of the specific things it would do to enable easier hiring of the right people?
Well, one of the things it's doing is creating a recruiting database, and that's to make high-quality potential employees aware of positions at the VA and create opportunities for career training and advancement. I mean, I think that's a big part of it. You don't want to get into a job where you're just going to be at the same level all the time. So you want to have opportunities for training to advance in your career. And that's part of what the fellowships are about. And then you have a promotional track for some of the technical experts that we need. Because too often we end up losing people to the private sector because they feel they've somewhat stagnated. And we don't want that to happen. We want people to want to be at the VA and work there for a long time.
Now, some of the people at most of the people at VA are under Title V, except for the medical professionals, and they're under, I think it's Title 38. Would any of your legislation change the provisions taking people out of Title V or Title 38?
No, that really doesn't. But we do want to create opportunities and reduce some of the bureaucracy that comes along with hiring. Again, our goal is to make sure that our veterans get quality health care. And so whether it's on the medical side or administrative side, we want to reduce the bureaucracy that comes into hiring people. That's one of the things as a doctor, I hear a lot from doctors that, you know, maybe want to leave their private practice, want to work at the VA. The process has been too cumbersome, and they just end up giving up. So I think this bill is a critical step in fulfilling our commitment to providing more for our veterans by making it easier for good people to want to get into the VA and make it an easier process. The bill passed the House 412-0, and hopefully the Senate's going to take it up and swiftly so we can get some of these reforms in the hiring process, because that's another key component, not only what we're trying to do once you are an employee, but how we can make it easier for people to seek employment in the VA and get through the process swiftly.
It seems like most doctors in the private sector work for large employers, large hospital chains, or maybe large practices. What are some of the best practices those organizations have for hiring the key personnel, which is doctors, that maybe the federal government could learn?
Well, active recruiting for one. You know, for example, I started with my own practice and had two employees back in the late 80s. And then I joined a large orthopedic group with 300-some employees, and we had 20-some doctors, and we eventually sold to the hospital. So we did keep getting bigger and bigger. So you want to actively recruit, and you can focus, too, on incentives for people coming out of residency programs and try and recruit while they're still in their residency, and especially if they're in a VA residency. So other things that we're trying to work on outside of this bill is making sure that the pay is comparable to what you get in the private sector. And as we move forward, we want to have more caregiver involvement in the processes that take place. So within recruiting in the private sector, one, you want to have an environment where someone is comfortable working. So is it the right type of office space? Do you have the appropriate number of rooms? Do you have the appropriate number of physician extenders, if you will, medical assistants, or in some cases, physician's assistant to work with you? So there are a lot of things that we got to have the flexibility to do to maximize the enjoyment of the practice.
We're speaking with Representative Brad Wenstrup of Ohio, who is a physician and represents Ohio's 2nd District, also a member of the Veterans Affairs Committee. And, you know, many years ago, a separate pay system for medical professionals in VA was created by Congress so that it would more closely match what the private sector receives. Is it fair to say that in recent years, that gap has really narrowed? So maybe the difference is not so much pay, but as you say, some of the frictions involved in getting into the VA.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. Now, there's definitely been efforts, and especially in the last few years, to try and make the pay more comparable. And there's still some areas where we need to do that. And we'll continue to work on that. But environment is a big part of it, as we were just talking about. One of the things that you have in the private sector more readily is the ability to alleviate yourselves of bad employees, because a bad employee can bring down the morale of the whole staff, whether it's in an operating room, clinic, or whatever component we're dealing with. And in the VA, it's been very difficult due to too many rules to get rid of bad employees. I think everyone should have their day in court, don't get me wrong. But even Sloan Gibson, former VA deputy secretary, testified at a hearing last year that it's just too hard to fire bad employees, and that creates a bad environment, and nobody wants to work in that environment. So if we can add that to the many things that we're trying to do, I think it's going to be helpful. We want to do asset reviews of our facilities. Are we using them to their maximum potential, or are they underutilized or not utilized, or could be utilized more perhaps? Or is it just too difficult, and do you need more space or more assets? And those are all the things that we really need to do, which you would see done in the private sector to make sure that you can maximize your productivity. And so hopefully we can bring that type of mindset to the VA and make it a better place to work for everybody. And certainly the bottom line is that veterans are taken care of in a more timely and efficient fashion with quality care.
That touches on some really important issues, which is the support that the medical staff gets. As you probably are aware, the GAO just found in the most recent report, they've done many over the years, of the 8,000 or 9,000 buildings that VA has and 30 million square feet, much of it is crumbling, underutilized or empty, and they've got to rationalize that. And also the information technology support, which led to all the long waiting times in part, contributed to that. And then there's senior management that may not be medical, but are senior executives running these centers. So that whole complex of support and facilities is something that needs to be fixed. And I guess your bill doesn't go that far, but is that something you're looking at?
Oh, definitely. And no, the bill does not cover all of those things. I mean, we have to really look at how we're doing things, and are we doing things in a way that makes good business sense? You know, it's interesting when you hear of a hospital in one state that has a full hospital and 3 patients in the hospital, and there may be a hospital down the street. Well, perhaps it's the best idea to think about moving that hospital to within that other hospital and have a VA wing or something that makes more sense. So again, the primary responsibility that we have is to take care of our veterans. And, you know, if I am in my private practice, I'll be glad to wear the VA logo on my jacket and put it outside our door and take care of veterans if that's the most efficient way that we can get veterans seen and taken care of, as opposed to maybe within the walls of the VA, or maybe there's not a VA near you. And so we've got to look at all these possibilities. And I think that we are, you know, as myself as a physician and chair of the health subcommittee, and then the chairman of the House full committee on VA is Dr. Phil Rowe, and he's also a veteran and OBGYN. And now we have a secretary who comes from the private sector as an MD, And it seems that the president is also determined to make the VA a better place and make sure that our veterans are taken care of.
Republican Brad Winstrup represents Ohio's 2nd District and is a member of the Veterans Affairs Committee. Thanks so much for joining me.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Anytime.
We'll post a link to this bill and to the interview at federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive.